Everything about the Cummings' place cried murder. The state prowl cars, the unmarked cars parked every which way, the stunned and curious looks on the faces of bystanders, and the crime scene tape. But nothing more so than the ME's car and the meat wagon. Jesse had seen too much of both lately to suit him. He pulled his Explorer up next to Lundquist's car, got out, and ducked under the tape. Once he stepped through the convenience store's door, Jesse knew his sense of things was right. Whether real or imagined, Jesse tasted the metallic mist of blood still suspended in the air. But he needn't have relied on his sense of smell or taste, because there was blood and brain spatter all over the wall behind the counter. A big man like Suit, Lundquist was hunched over the counter, speaking to someone blocked from Jesse's view. Dr. Minter, no doubt. One of Lundquist's men walked up to Lundquist, tapped him on the shoulder, and pointed at Jesse. Lundquist waved Jesse to come on. "Take a look," Lundquist said. Jesse leaned over the counter and saw the ME squatting next to Gary Cummings, Jr. He had collapsed in a lifeless bundle of flesh and bone, his right leg caught beneath him, his left leg splayed out at an unnatural angle. He was missing his right eye and a big chunk of the back of his skull. He didn't seem nearly as arrogant or full of himself in death. Nothing so humbling, Jesse thought, as a bullet through the brain. Bullets care little for bravado or pretense. "The father's in the back," Lundquist said. "One through the back of the head. Most of his face is gone. Hollow points. Looks that way." Jesse noticed that the kid's sidearm was still holstered. "The father's sidearm still in its holster, too?" Lundquist nodded. "Well, you should have it all on video. They've got a..." Lundquist wasn't nodding any longer. "No video. I checked. Been turned off." "What? Doesn't make any sense. Why would they turn the video off?" Lundquist shrugged. Jesse was thinking to himself aloud. Not unless they were asked to turn it off. "What'd you say?" Lundquist was curious. "Look, both of these guys were experienced with handguns, and the kid was the type who would have been looking for any excuse to pull his weapon and fire. But both of them are here, bullets through their heads, and the surveillance system turned off. What does that say to you, Brian?" "A lot of things, possibly." "One of them being what?" "They knew the assailant." "I vote for that one." Lundquist wasn't buying, not yet. "Big leap for someone who's been on scene for all of 3 minutes and hasn't even had a good look. What makes you so confident?" Jesse tilted his head, motioning toward the front door. "We need to talk." "Okay, let's step outside and take a walk." They went around to the side of the store. "All right, what's up, Jesse?" John W. Vandekamp and Gary Cummings, Jr. knew each other. On the day Vandekamp was killed and was shooting at the Magic Valley handgun and rifle range, Cummings was shooting in the lane right next to him, even though the rest of the range was empty. "You know this how? For now, just take my word for it." "For now, but this proves what?" "By itself, nothing. Still, don't you find it odd that the Cummings kid knew John Vandekamp, but the father showed me video of John Vandekamp buying the kerosene used to burn the cross on the Patel's lawn? If they knew him, why show me the tape at all? And if they were going to show me the tape, why not just identify him?" "We're never going to know the answer to that now," Lundquist said. "That's my point. I was in here this morning around midnight and confronted the Cummings kid about Vandekamp. I almost had him talking, but a woman came in to buy some gas and beer. By the time she left, the kid had regained his senses. So even if Vandekamp and Cummings knew each other, what does it prove?" "That homicide scene in there. Does it look like a robbery to you?" Lundquist said, "Money is missing from the register." "That's not what I asked you, Brian." Jesse didn't wait for an answer. "Looks more like an execution staged to look like a robbery." "What if it does?" "All I know is something doesn't add up. They show me video of a kid buying kerosene. They claim they don't know him, but they in fact do. When I'm here, the father pointed out that all of their people were licensed to carry firearms, because they were never going to be robbed again without a fight. Yet 8 hours after I connect Cummings Jr. to Vanderkamp, both Cummingses are murdered during a robbery without drawing their weapons, and the video system just happened to be shut off. Come on, Lundquist. Let's say I accept your version of things. What does it add up to? I don't know yet, but it proves there's more going on here than a series of unlikely coincidences. I can't deny that. Any witnesses? Guy who called it in says he thinks he saw a green Jeep passing him in the opposite direction when he was turning into the gas station. But it was still pretty dark out, and he can't be sure if the Jeep was coming from the station. That's when it hit Jesse. He thanked Lundquist and left without another word.